Morning.
For our guests, I'm not the regular preacher. So we are looking for a preacher at this time. So we've kind of been taking turns getting up here and doing lessons and going along that way. Just to give you a little background of what we're doing for the next few weeks, those who weren't here last Sunday and our guests, is that you remember we... Hold up. Before I get started, thank you, Chuck. Is anybody walking the door that needs a handout that they can get one? Everybody got a handout? Because you know what that is. It's just not for you to just take notes for this very moment. There's some homework involved. A few months ago, we studied the life of Christ. It was a very good lesson. It took us about 30 lessons of Sunday morning and the preaching time. And we kind of talked in Sunday school one lesson and preached about it the second lesson. So well, I was wondering where we would go from here. And it's just a natural path should take us down to the book of Acts. Studying about the apostles and the church. That's where we get everything our ruling from, though, how we act as a church and how we act as members, how the apostles act. But you know what happened? The Lord kind of led us right off the get-go, let's talk about something that's difficult to talk about, that we haven't talked very often about, is the Holy Spirit. It's an area that we just kind of try to keep the Holy Spirit, as I told you last Sunday, in a little box, a little separate from God the Head, Jesus. We kind of, how does the Holy Spirit act? So, last Sunday we went through Acts chapter 2. We read it through and broke it down and saw all the wonderful things the Holy Spirit done on that day. So, it led me to this Sunday that I want to leave you with something to make you, get you ready to think about next Sunday. If you're a visitor and you're not going to be here next Sunday, that's okay. We put all our sermons online so you can follow up, because I'm going to leave you some things. He said, what? And with that, I want you to do something. I want what I say up here, don't take for credit. Go study for yourselves. Correct and check. Because you know what? I'm human. But God's Word is inspired. It's living. It's active. So anything I talk about in these weeks to come, I want you to study deeply. Because that leads to your homework. Because what I've decided to do is what we talk about on Sunday for worship, we're going to re-bring it up in Bible class. So what I want you to do is take notes this morning, but I want you to also take notes throughout the week and study what we're talking about. And then come to class. And let's talk about it. We may not talk about it next week, because I think we only got through 6 verses of what we talked about last Sunday. So the good Lord may be leaving it longer than 24 lessons, but that's okay. And like Wesley said, if we do it one brick at a time, then we'll do it one brick at a time. And do a study. But what I'd like to see come from you is when we get to Sunday school classes is, this is what I found out, and I want to share it to the class. This is what I found out about the Holy Spirit, or about in Acts, and share it with the class. Because I want you to find things that you've never seen before. I can tell you I already have. My perspective is changing daily when it comes to the Holy Spirit. But what we need to do is we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do this morning, and hopefully I won't take as long as the last Sunday, but if it do, that'd be okay. The good Lord will lead the sermon, hopefully, is I want us to look at the Holy Spirit through Scriptures. Because what I found out once I started looking and seeing all the verses that were related to the Holy Spirit, I go, there's another one. There's another one. I grew up in the church. Like I said this morning, I grew up in the church. I should know this. But we're always learning, aren't we? Let's go down that difficult path and let's study the Holy Spirit Let's set the groundwork for next Sunday school and next sermon. So what does that mean? You got to be here, right? So let's go down that road. We see the Holy Spirit in the beginning. Did you realize that you saw, we talked about that before, about Christ seeing Him in the beginning. But did you realize we see Him in the beginning, in the creation of this world? And Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2 tells us this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formed and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. He was there. As we go to look through some of these verses and see where we see the Holy Spirit keep popping up throughout all the scriptures, we kind of, as I said before, we kind of just read right over it and never think about the significance of that, because it affects us today if we would see the significance. So let's look through some of the scriptures and see where we can see the Holy Spirit. We see throughout the Bible. Look at this. This is one of those ones that I missed right over the window. Right off the top of my head when I read this. Judges 3:10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered. You know, we'll see another verse. When they went out to war and out to battle, who was with them? The Holy Spirit. Judges 6:34 tells us this. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet. The Spirit was there when they went to battle for the Lord. When they went to conquer countries. The Spirit was there. The Spirit gave them the abilities and the power. 2 Samuel 32, verse 2, tells us this. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His words was on my tongue. There again, we see the Spirit, and we see an example where the Spirit actually works. You know, when we talk and see people, says, you know, I'm not a preacher. Sometimes I don't even think I'm a preacher. But I'm not a teacher. I have difficulty talking to people about the Lord. I have difficulties doing stuff for the Lord. It's a tough subject. Some people don't want to hear it. But the Spirit puts the words on your tongue. The Spirit gives you the words you need to be able to preach and teach. You look at Moses at the burning bush, telling Jesus, I don't have the words to speak. I'm not an eloquent speaker. It's not your abilities. It's my abilities. He'll give you what you need through the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 2, verse 2. As he spoke to the Spirit, it came into him, and he was raised me to my feet. Wait a minute. Holy Spirit literally raised him. So that's a little bit more active than sometimes we make him. But he raised me to my feet, and he heard him speaking to me. That's the problem sometimes. We talked about in Bible class, sometimes we're not listening. The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us at times and trying to raise us up in action, and we're ignoring it. The Holy Spirit is active in the Old Testament. Isaiah 11:2 tells us this. The Spirit of the Lord shall raise upon him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Where do you think we get our knowledge from? Where do you think we get our understanding from? It's from the Spirit. He dwells within us through scriptures. He dwells within us within our heart when we allow Him. He gives us the knowledge and, what most of all, the fear of God. the understanding why we need to fear God and our Lord. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit does throughout all of us. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive, and release from darkness and for the prisoners. The good news, that's all the way back in Isaiah 61, the verse 1. What are we supposed to be releasing out? I tell you one thing, the Holy Spirit is not supposed to stay with us. We're supposed to give it out. We're supposed to be doing the work of the Lord, who enables us because of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 143:10 tells us this: teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May the good Spirit lead me on level ground. There's something you need to hold on to this, because we will see it again in this lesson this morning. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. There's a key to all this right now. The key to that is that the Holy Spirit works off the will of the Father. We're going to talk about that. We work off the will of the Father. May your good Spirit lead me in level ground. Throughout all the Old Testament. So let's look at some verses in the New Testament. You know, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, and this is what we find out in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The Holy Spirit led Jesus. John 15, verse 26 tells us this, which we were read earlier, and I think I have it here again in just a moment, is this: but when the Helper came, whom I will send to you from who? The Father, the Spirit of truth. He proceeded from the Father. He will bear witnesses about me. We want to know more about Jesus. We have to know more about the Spirit. We need to know the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. He testified we belong to God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, it tells us this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I heard that in Bible class this morning. It's funny how things cycle back around. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through His words of groaning. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in according with the what? The will of God. That's what we need to realize and start understanding. Because let me tell you something. We know that God doesn't change, right? We know that Jesus doesn't change. Let's look at some of these verses. For the Lord does not change. This is what they have on your title. Malachi says, I, the Lord, do not change. He tells you right there in the Old Testament. I, the Lord, I don't change. I'm the same as I was at the beginning. I'm the same in the middle. And I'm going to be the same one in the end. Oh, that's great news. Because when we reflect on all the promises God made to us, He's not going to change His mind. He's the same God as He was at the very beginning when He created all of us. He's going to be the same God today when we need Him the most. And He's going to be the same God at the end when He made all those promises of heaven. He's not changing. Hebrews 13, verses 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, Jesus doesn't change. We're told in Psalms 119, verses 89, the word Lord is eternal. It stands firm in heaven. The word does not change. The Holy Spirit does not change. That's what we need to understand. So when we're getting ready to do our study and we talk about the Holy Spirit, this is where we have difficulty. Is it the same Holy Spirit that was back then, today? Has the Holy Spirit changed in any way? Think about that for a minute. We read about all the wonderful things the Holy Spirit was able to do, and He hasn't changed. I'm going to bring up one of those, He really said that, here in a moment. But I'm going to give you an answer to it so you don't have to worry too hard. Do my Father's will. You know, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It will remind him, John 14, verse 26. As we read earlier, let's read it again, in John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper came, whom I will send to you from who? The Father. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will bear witnesses about me. All these, in John 6, verse 37, tells us this in verse 39. All these the Father give me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my what? Will. But do the will of Him who sent me. And in this will of them who send me, that I shall lose none of these things. He has given me, but raised them up at the last day. You know the key, there's two keys that we need to understand. We need to realize and understand today how the Holy Spirit works, how Jesus works, how God works. They glorify God, and they do His will. They glorify God and do His will. That's the whole key. So let me ask you a question. Let me give you something to ponder. Let me give you something to think about. Let me really put you on edge and go back home and say, maybe I need to look that up and maybe understand a little bit more. Can we have miracles today performed by men? Oh, that's a tough one. But I got an answer for you. Remember the criteria. If it's the Father's will, and He is glorified. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. Now, do I believe that? That somebody come up to me, I can do a miracle? There's a couple questions I'm going to ask that individual first. Did you go under the training of Christ Jesus? Because let me tell you what the disciples did to be able to prepare, to be able to do miracles. Jesus sent them off ahead of time in training. They spent their every day with Jesus, being trained to be able to do those miracles. In every one of those miracles, what occurred? God was glorified. And it was at God's will at that time. So do I think anybody has that training today? No. But do we have the power of healing? Because it tells us in Scriptures, the prayer of a righteous man shall avail much. But I think sometimes it's lacking our faith and wisdom and the ability of what God can do today. What we've studied today is the Holy Spirit, God the Head, and Jesus hasn't changed from day one. Their abilities haven't been dialed back. Their abilities are available to us. But it's a hard subject to talk about. We don't want to be able to put that much power in anything. Our God has the ability to do anything He wants. And we have the ability to make a difference as individuals if we tap into the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe in miracles because I don't think I should be here today. I think several years ago I should have been gone. The good Lord decided it wasn't time and it wasn't the proper moment. So I'm here for a reason and a purpose. You're breathing is for a reason. And that's for each and every one of you. He may take me today. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Don't get me wrong. I love y'all, but I'm looking forward to the promised land. Amen. One day closer. One day closer. So if He takes me today, that's okay. You have to do a funeral for me next week, celebrate it. Because the good Lord has given me what He has promised. But I believe in miracles. I believe that the elders can anoint and pray over somebody and make a difference. Do I really have that belief before I started this study? I think I dialed the Holy Spirit back. Because I listened to the rhetoric and the fighting. No, you can't have miracles today. That was for back then. You can if it's the Lord's will and He is glorified. But it takes a lot of training. When I read over what I read over this week and compared it to what we studied with the life of Christ, it started clicking to me. You know why you don't see miracles of apostles? They passed it on to other ones. You can read that in scriptures. But why it came to a halt? Because they didn't have the same training. They didn't have the full understanding. And of most of all, every incident was God's will and He was glorified. So yes, if the good Lord decides for me to take this church and move it somewhere else, I have that ability through the Holy Spirit and through the good Lord. Yes, I do. But am I trying to glorify myself? And is it the Lord's will? It's not that hard to understand. It's not that hard to comprehend. You see that last page in your handout? I saw this drawing and I'm going, man, that's pretty good. The Father is not the Son and the Son's not the Holy Spirit, but God is all of them. That's a concept we can't physically understand. That's a concept that we struggle with. How can the Father not be the Son and the Son not be the Holy Spirit and be separated, but God is all of them? Because we're talking about a powerful God. Now, so what does the Holy Spirit expect out of you? We're going to get personal next week. What does the Holy Spirit expect from you? What abilities can you tap into? What abilities do I have? What can the Holy Spirit, how's He worked through me, Brian Baer, or through Chuck, or through Jerry, or through Tom, or Wesley, any of us? We're going to talk about that next week. Holy Spirit is active and working in this world today just as much as He was on the day of Pentecost. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Have a little faith in Him. Call on Him. Especially in your prayers. That's one of the things I learned this week, is to rely on the Holy Spirit on my prayers. I got the Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus battling for me in front of the Father. I have two of them. Jesus knows what I went through because He did it. He was on this earth. And the Holy Spirit knows my heart, knows my groans for me. hollers for me, has mercy on me. Call on them both in your prayers. I encourage you to do that and see how things can change. Don't be afraid. It's pretty laid out simple in scriptures of what everybody does. The good Lord doesn't hold anything back. That's why I don't understand why when we talk about in the last week we talked about in 1 Peter verse 2 Peter verse 38 and why this world's gotten so far off track of what it takes to become a Christian. And he said in 1 Peter 2 verse 8, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Pretty straightforward what it takes to be a Christian. There's no ifs, ands, up, buts about it. But how this world's got so far off. Wesley said it. Satan is involved in that. You know, don't trust what I had to say this morning. Study it for yourself. Come back to the next Sunday school class and let's talk about it some more. Job 20 verse 22 tells us this. "But you beloved, build yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in love of God, looking forward to the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ eternal." It's funny how all three are in that verse. How he puts it all together. And listen to this last part. This struck me when I came across it. "And have mercy on some who are doubting." You know why? I look back at where the disciples were in chapter 1, when Jesus told them, "Go wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do that for you. Just go back and wait." And they go, "Is it time now, Lord?" We're all doubters at some point in our lives in some form of it. If it's the Holy Spirit or if it's the ability of what Christ can do in our life today or if it's the ability of, can I speak to someone about Christ? We all have doubt. Right here it says have mercy on those. Show them the way. Teach them the way. You know, I don't know where you're at in your life this morning, and this is one of those subjects that really has me nervous because I want to do what is right with the Lord. I want to do what He wants. And I need your help to do that. Keep me in check. Study this. Don't rely on my study. Don't rely on what I'm telling you this morning. Don't rely on what I tell you on Sunday school because we've got plenty of time because we're barely into this lesson and it looks like it's going to take us a little while. Let's go down this journey together. But I hope and pray that you have an open mind, an open heart, a willing heart for the Holy Spirit, for Christ Jesus and the Father. And remember two things that where our job is. Our job is twofold. To do the will of our Father and to glorify Him in every way. The way we live, the way we act, and everything that we do. If we do those two things, we're never going to go wrong. Because our intent was to make sure our Father's glorified. There's where our struggle is. You may be facing struggle with sin. You may not even be a Christian and not realize that you need to be baptized. You may be struggling and having doubt in your heart this morning. And if you're online, if you're listening in or you're a visitor, and you've heard something that doesn't quite sound right, reach out to our elders and deacons. If you need help in prayer this morning, send Wesley a text and the elders will pray for you. If you need help in any way, this congregation's got you, the Holy Spirit's got you, The Father's got you and the Son's got you. Sounds like you're surrounded to me. So just reach out. That's the only problem we have is we sit back. Just reach out. So if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.